Good morning, and may I wish you a happy new year. Blessings to you as you embark on the journey, trusting that you'll know Father God very close and that call of Jesus to go and make disciples, which is what our text is all about today. If you turn to Matthew 28, we're looking at verse 10 onwards. I want us to pray. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that as we share this time together, the start of this new year, that not only will you encourage us and remind us again that we're your children called by your name, but also that we have a task to be about. We have to go and share the wonderful gospel, the good news of Jesus to others. We have to live it out. And so I'm praying, Father, that you'll come right now and meet us again by your Spirit and energize us, re-envision us. To go out into this world, especially at a time like this, Father, with COVID-19 prevalent in every area. I pray that you'll help us just to look beyond that to see how we can be hope and light, bring life to those around. So hear our call as we share this word together today. Be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story of a chess master who'd gone into the city and decided to look around one of the art museums. And as he was looking around, he came across a painting. The painting was entitled Checkmate. And as he looked at it, he saw what appeared to be a man totally defeated, totally deflated. Obviously, he'd been beaten at this game of chess. And just there at the side was a dark figure looming, possibly the devil himself. It was certainly checkmate. And as he looked, he saw the sorry state of this picture. He looked down at the board at all the pieces that were played, and all of a sudden he shouted, "There's one more move." The chess master had discovered that actually it wasn't the end of the game. It wasn't checkmate. There was one more move. We mustn't go about our lives thinking that this is all it's meant to be. That we've been beaten, or that God is a disinterested party and he doesn't really care. This is tantamount to saying that we've lost, or worse still, God is in checkmate. All you have done is strip God of his sovereignty. There's always another move. Our text at verse 10 says, "Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." You check out verse 16 also. The context? Well, it's Easter Day. No, I haven't got my diary wrong, and I don't want to wait for Easter 2021 to say it. Jesus has risen. He's alive. And all that's about to happen is rooted in the glorious resurrection of Jesus. And it's the same for us today as we embark into this new year. All that's going to happen in 2021 in our lives, the life of this, his church, is rooted in this event. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee. The text presupposes that they'd met Jesus before. They knew he would die. They believed he would rise again. They'd been at the appointed place. And there's always another move. Galilee, an area covering 1,400 square miles in northern Palestine. In Jesus' day, it was the buffer zone between north and south. If any news of fighting, it generally came from Galilee. It was under the rule of Herod Antipas, known warmly as the Fox. He was the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. So I guess it begs the question, with all this fighting, where it's possibly a war zone, why Galilee? Well, Galilee was the starting place. Jesus lived most of his life and had most of his ministry here, especially in Nazareth and Capernaum. It was in Galilee that disciples like Peter, James, and John heard Jesus say, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And now it is in Galilee where Jesus will once again call the disciples, this time to an even greater ministry. You see, despite what's going on in our lives, there's always another move. Thank God for the day he met us in our Galilee. I praise God for the day he met me in mine. The place where the light dawned in the darkness. And oh, how it needs to dawn again. From our Galilee, he took us to Calvary. There we saw our sins dealt with. There we saw our sins covered in and through the blood of Christ, washing us, making us white as snow. But that's not the end of the story. There is victory in Galilee and the subsequent Galilees. If my first Galilee and your first Galilee was one of acceptance, the following ones are those of recovery, of receiving the commission or a recommission. You see, there's always another move. It's Jesus' resurrection day, a rendezvous with Jesus, and he forward planned the event, that divine appointment. How many have you missed lately? Can I encourage you to have many more as you go into this new year? Jesus says, if you come, I'll be there. My friends, it's the call of love on your life. Jesus wants the response of your heart today. Just think what it could mean as you go into this new year. Not just one more move, but a meeting with the Lord and being encouraged by him, allowing him to be Lord of our lives. In 1952, Elizabeth was crowned Queen of England. One intriguing aspect came before they placed the crown on the Queen's head. The Archbishop of Canterbury called out to the audience that was sitting to the north, says, I present to you the undoubted Queen of this realm. Are you willing to do her homage? Their response was resounding. Then he turned around and faced the opposite direction and repeated the question. Again, there came a hearty affirmation. Only after he had done this same thing in all four directions, did they put the crown on the head of Queen Elizabeth II. The pomp and ceremony were so impressive. But the Queen, though she reigns over the United Kingdom, is merely a constitutional monarch. Parliament can pass whatever legislation it pleases. She can withhold her signature. But the bill still becomes law. She's the undoubted queen of the realm. She rules, though, in name only. Isn't that the way it is with lots of us in God's kingdom? It's been like that lots of times in 2020. But let's make sure it's not like that as we go into 2021. Without hesitation, we affirm that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. But when it comes to everyday life, how sad we make our own rules. The New Testament refers to Jesus as Lord over 600 times. So why is it we continue to organize our lives not around his lordship, but around my own, our own authority? We can experience God in three ways, you see. As something or someone beyond us. As something among us. Or someone within us. And I'd like to think that we're moving forward into 2021 with the one who is within us, Jesus, Lord of our lives, Christ in us, the hope for 2021. Writer Jerry Bridges says, our behavior may appear outstanding to other people, but not to be acceptable to God because it does not spring from a motive of love to him. The only conduct that arises from love is worthy of the name of obedience. Verse 16 of this passage says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When was the last time you kept a rendezvous with the risen Lord? Do you realize it was in their Galilee that the reality and power of the resurrection took form? Had you realized that? You noticed that? It wasn't at the tomb. That's empty. It's comforting to know that Easter can become real to us in other places. It needs to come real to us again today. Indeed, to live for Jesus, this is precisely it. I need to constantly hear the words of Jesus, calming fears, demolishing strongholds. Come, he says, come, I'll be there. That place may be a home, maybe a workplace, maybe college. It may be a broken relationship. It may be an experience of fear. But I can claim the power of resurrection in those places. It may be a place of wrong decision, of indecision, a moral decision. It may be with your private battles in your Christian life. Maybe sickness. It may be depression. We each have a Galilee full of stuff, often looking like a war zone. Do you know? Jesus said, if you come to Galilee, I'll be there. That place of familiarity becomes a place that is transformed by the resurrection power of Jesus. How amazing is that? Of all the greatest things that can happen, none are so essential today than this. Come, Jesus says, I will meet you. Can I ask you, where's your Galilee? Can I ask, what would it mean to you if you were to accept the reality of resurrection right now in your Galilee? You see, to accept the resurrection is to awaken into God's kingdom, a realm where, contrary to our experience, life is not defeated by death. Marjorie Thomas says, it's to recognize that the resurrection is to awake to a new kind of morning, one in which the bleak human landscape of sin seems more the fading dream than encompassing reality. In its eternal light, a whole new order of life is born. That's what happened that first time when Jesus told the disciples to come to Galilee. And it can happen again today, this first Sunday of the new year. A whole new order of life can be born. You see, they're on the threshold of an important new chapter, a chapter they cannot even imagine. And it could be that for you and me. But first, go to Galilee. I'll meet you there. Make that one more move. Allow Jesus become Lord. Do you know the first time Galilee is mentioned in the Bible? Any ideas? Well, it's one of the cities of refuge in Joshua 20. Those cities of refuge are places where outsiders become insiders and are safe. It can become a place to hide. It could be that place where you could be really yourself again without having fear, where you might want to cry. God longs to be that safe place. He doesn't want us to run from life and end up existing. He wants us to run to life. Why Galilee? Because that's where Jesus is. And it's the place where it all began with Jesus. And that's where his next exciting episode for their lives will be launched. And the same for us. It's no longer checkmate. There's one more move. I want us to pause for a few moments. And can I suggest you do? Just pause this tape. And maybe sing, look on YouTube for us, the song Before the Throne of God Above. And allow that to impact your heart and your life. We move to part two of this passage, where we're allowing ourselves to recognize that there is one more move. Brownlow North, one of the great preachers, one day, just before he was due to preach in his church in Aberdeen, a note was handed to him. It read, I know your past. I followed you to Paris years ago, and I know all your career of vice. I have a record of your life at Liverpool, and know how you carried on at Manchester. I challenge you to stand in a Christian pulpit and preach. I dare you to do it. Brownlow North went into the pulpit that morning and began the service by reading the letter. He missed nothing out. And after a long list of vile sins, he said, my friends, it's all true, and a good deal more than my companion has written here. But I want you to know, there came a day in my life when I heard the Saviour's voice. Brownlow North, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven you. And if there was mercy for me, there's mercy for everyone here. Well, I guess you can imagine the service didn't continue as planned. Hundreds came to Jesus for healing, for forgiveness, for renewal. And I want us to know that same experience, no matter what the past is. The same call that the disciples heard is the same call Jesus makes to us again today. Come. Being his people means we have been conquered in our Galilee and commissioned to go to others in theirs. Verse 18 of this passage, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. In response to doubt, those feelings of inadequacy, of fear, of loss, Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be there. His authority embraces all of heaven and earth, the created order in space and time. All powers, principalities, thrones, dominions are all subject to him. No power has been left out. And he has had the final word. We know it's true. Imagine the power that controls nature. Those waves, the stars, the sun. Do you know 1 inch of rainfall falling over 1 square mile means some 60,000 tons of water poured out so gently we don't notice it? We have a God, we have a Savior, we have a Lord who has the whole world in his hands. He created the vast universe. The power that was able to form that is that same power that raised him from the dead, defeated death. That same power is ours today. Matthew's gospel stresses the authority of Jesus many times. His teaching in chapter 7, his healing in chapter 8, the forgiveness of sin in chapter 9. He says, I have ultimate authority, and it's my will that you go in my name. Don't doubt who you are. You're mine. So go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you. We reminded ourselves on Thursday that the word translated as go actually means as you are going. It implies a continuation of movement and action on our part. There are times, COVID-19 aside, when I think we haven't been doing a good job as a church today. A good job of going. We seem to have quit going. This statement isn't any greater than the others made by Jesus, nor is it his last word. But it is the response to meeting Jesus. And it's not until we meet him can we be consumed with passion for him and then for the lost. If you have never had a living encounter with Jesus, I challenge you this morning, come. If you have a wonderful relationship with Jesus, I challenge you to go and tell, make disciples and baptizing. By the way, can I just say, baptism constitutes an act of obedience to Christ, which should be followed by a lifelong obedience to his commands. Into his life we are placed, so baptism must follow, bearing witness of the invisible and spiritual reality of his power, of his presence, of his peace in us, living through us. So can I ask you, have you been baptized as Christian men and women? Have you been baptized? If not, why not? I'll leave that with you. We have a great responsibility, you see. The commission to us arises out of the power claimed by Christ. All power is given. Therefore, go make that power a reality, Jesus says. If we do not recognize the therefore, we may never go. The concern of the commission is not just to get people ready for heaven. Its task is to get heaven into them, into the people, to make them like Christ, and involves the transformation of our life while on earth. You see, the focus of Jesus is not about ceremony, but about surrender. Not a matter of convenience, but of commitment. David Bosch said, God does not send ideas or eternal truths to the nations. He sends people, historical beings. He incarnates himself in his Son and through his Son in his disciples. God becomes his story, specific history, mundane history in the followers of Jesus en route in the world. I want you to cast your mind back to September 2018. Okay, it was Alice and I's Preaching with a View weekend. And my first sermon to your people, to you dear people at Mager. Well, I reminded you what you put in your own portfolio as a church when you're seeking a minister. What did you say? Well, this is what I said. We need to listen to God afresh, seeking what he is planning for us in the church and within our community as he builds his kingdom. We recognize that this may require fresh expressions of mission and worship, not necessarily always within confines of a traditional church. I said, we should always be more driven by our missionary identity than our church identity. Well, in the 2 years we've been with you, is that the case? Do you think we've been able to do that? Have we been good at doing this? I brought an illustration to you that same weekend about wing walking. I don't know if you've actually done any wing walking. Well, real wing walkers thrill the crowds by teetering on the edge of a wing while the plane dips and rolls. The object was to move from strut to strut on a biplane until the wing walker had walked the entire length of the wing. I reminded you that the first rule of the wing walking is don't let go of whatever you're holding on to until you are sure you have hold of something else. Oh, by the way, the uprights of a biplane are positioned so that what the wing walker needed to grab next meant he had to let go of the one he was holding on to. It's approximately a foot beyond the wing walker's reach. The wing walker could only walk the wing if he was courageous enough to let go and step into the gap between what was certain security and an uncertain future. As people of faith, the journey we have embarked on is to walk the wing, going into 2021, going making what will be disciples for Christ. Jesus never foresees a time when any part of this call or this work will become antiquated or untrue, inappropriate or needless. The call of God is to go. It has not been withdrawn. It will not become redundant. Living out the resurrection life of Jesus outflows the truth of his kingdom. You see, the disciples, when they saw Jesus worshipped, you look at verse 17. These fresh expressions of worship, what would it mean for us at Maker? Please note that this great commission springs from worship, being lost in wonder, love and praise, inspired by the Holy Spirit to go out. Go out into mission. It's the church encountering the risen Lord and then flowing out into the community, whatever that is for you, wherever that is for you. But it does mean action. It means activity. It means fresh expressions of mission. John Stott said, commission neither explains nor exhausts nor supersedes the great commandment. What it does is to add to the requirement of neighbor love and neighbor service, a new and urgent Christian dimension. You see, if we truly love our neighbor, we shall without doubt share with him the good news of Jesus. The only command in the entire Great Commission is make disciples in all the nations. No matter where we are, we should be witnesses for Jesus Christ and seek to win others to him. The term disciples was the most popular name for the early believers. Being a disciple meant more than being a convert or a church member. They identified with their teacher. They learned from him. They lived him. Warren Wiersbe says, this was the pattern of the New Testament church. In many respects, we have departed from this pattern. In most churches today, the congregations pay the pastor to preach, win the lost, and build up the saved, while the church members function as cheerleaders. That's if they're enthusiastic. Or spectators. He goes on to say, the converts are won, baptized, and given the right hand of fellowship. Then they join the other spectators. How much faster our church would grow, and how much stronger and happier our members would become if each one was discipling another. We thank God for our community and our social activities, helping those in need. These must continue, but always with a view to making disciples and teaching his word. Jesus promises that he will be with us in mission wherever we go. A church that ceases to live out the Great Commission jeopardizes their status as a viable expression of the body of Christ within that community. We have a Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission, by the way, because of its emphasis and all-encompassing authority. We are the church, but also the bearers of seed of the future church that's to come from our ministry. We exist to extend his kingdom in every way possible in and throughout our contemporary life and practice today. Goheen said, "The commission is not a task assigned to isolated individuals. It is an identity given to the community." The community of church. Jesus is not only in the midst when his people gather together, but he's also present with them as they scatter into the world to witness. It was when the Spirit came that Jesus could be with his people no matter where they were. David Livingstone knew this. When asked what sustained him through his struggles, through his pain in Africa, he answered by quoting this verse. It is said that when his wife died in Africa, he helped prepare her body, made the coffin, lowered the coffin into the ground, covered it, and then read out this text. And then he said, "Jesus Christ is too much a gentleman not to keep his word. Let us get on with the task." The phrase, "the end of the age," indicates that our Lord has a bigger plan. He is Lord of history. And he makes history. He's written history. And we can have that opportunity of going into the story that he has written. As the churches follow his leading and obey his word, they fulfill his purposes in the world. And it will all come to a climax one day. Meanwhile, we've been called to go and make disciples. Disciples make disciples, baptizing them and recognizing without a shadow of doubt that he is with us wherever we go. Eugene Peterson beautifully puts it. It's a long obedience in the same direction. Let's make sure we're going in that right direction as we embark on this new year together. And may God be glorified as we see his kingdom extended. Amen.